This is the Sideline Slice, presented by Valentino's Pizza, the official pizza of the Huskers. Here's your host, Jessica Cootie, and Husker Radio Network analyst, Jeremiah Searles.
Welcome back to the Sideline Slice, presented by Valentino's Pizza, with the big dog, Jeremiah Searles. I'm Jessica Cootie, and we've got a victory episode here today, Searles. Huskers taking care of business in game one. And I've said this to Coach Rule, Jeremiah, but it was like Memorial Stadium South. It was absolutely rocking in Arrowhead and all pro Husker fans. It was unbelievable. What a cool atmosphere. And Huskers come out with a win and maybe a little closer than what we would have wanted. But hey, it's a W, and that is huge, right? To start off the season in a game like this with a win.
Yeah, I mean, a Power Four opponent. Coming in, transfers, lots of question marks. Who's going to perform? Who's not going to play? What positions? Who's going to play what? Like, week one games are always kind of coin flip games sometimes, because you prepare for one thing for a week and then you get out there on the field and it's a totally different ball game, right? And I thought that the Huskers did a really nice job of adapting within the scheme, especially offensively, taking what the defense gave us, right? When I went back and watched the film and doing Big Red Reaction, I had to listen to people be like, why did we throw the ball down the field? Right. And it's like, well, they ran a cover three shell and they kept everything in front of them. And I thought Dylan did a fantastic job of taking what the defense gave him. And Coach Rule came out and said it in his press conference too, right? Like, sometimes the big play is just not going to be there. And the time of possession was great, but man, watching KC be full of Husker fans, I loved watching that. We proved again why we're the number one fan base in the country. Just time and time again, they show up and show out. And then listening to Cincinnati's coach whine and complain about it too was just the cherry on top.
Well, look, in every game one, there's lots to build off of, lots to improve, lots that they need to get better at. And we're going to dive into a little bit of that before moving ahead to the home opener coming up on Saturday. But before we do any of that, how was Big Red Reaction?
It was something, you know, for my first time, I had no idea that people would call in until 2:30 in the morning. Like I was like, Coat, like when he's like, hey, we're going to be on from 1 to 3. I was like, doing what? Like, what are we doing? He's like, oh, buddy, just you wait. People will call in. And we had some really good calls and we had some really interesting calls, but I have a feeling that's just the way that, that show goes. I can honestly say this is my first time ever doing it. I'm glad my first one out of the gate was a one-score win and not a one-score loss, because I think that could have went south quickly. But I'm going to tell everyone this. If you call in on Big Red Reaction and the first words out of your mouth are either the 90s and or Tom Osborne, I'm going to have Josh in the back hang up on you. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that this year. I'm just not. It's 2025. That's not what we're in. Different era. So disclaimer here. You will be hung up on if you call it and say, in the 90s, we did X, Y, Z.
Yeah, I hope people weren't playing a drinking game for that.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness, 90s and the backup quarterback already. I was like, boys, it's week one and we won. Everyone take a chill pill. But no, I love it. I think it's going to be really fun. Coach hysterical, and I will have fun with it. As any of you that know me, I'm not that serious about it. So I'll have good commentary, but if I hear the word 90s out of your mouth, I'm hitting the dump button.
I think it's probably pretty good that is not streamed on video to see some of your facial reactions.
I would not do the show. You know me, I hold my facial things in. I don't have like my emotion doesn't wear on my sleeve.
Hey.
Like, that video, that cannot be filmed live for the public.
I recall from when you did the sideline for us, all the photos and videos that the people on the video staff took of you, and you didn't hold your emotions on the sideline.
It's radio. You don't have to hold your emotions on radio. No one can see you. They just hear you, right?
But the second except for when the video they have a video on you or a camera.
Yeah,
on you.
Unknowingly, I was being filmed by Alex and crew, but there was some good gifts that came out of that.
Yeah, there were. Okay, well, I guess immediately diving in, I know you gave immediate reaction, yep. But what were some of the things that maybe you watched and thought that maybe changed? Where are some things that after you really rewatched the film and dove into all of that, that you kind of changed your perspective a little bit or didn't at all, I guess?
Well, I mean, the number one thing is I'm never going to be overcritical of a win,
yeah.
Right? Like, we found a way to win a one-score game. If you would have told me that last year, I would have said, hoorah, I don't care how it happens. That being said, because we won a one-score game, I am going in and looking at the film going, okay, where do I want to see the biggest jumps from week one to week two? And the biggest jumps for me come in two positions. One, we cannot have Emmett Johnson running the football 25 times, like, and touching the ball another 10. Like, that is just not a sustainable thing for someone who is not the biggest back in the world, right? Emmett's a bigger guy. He's put on some muscle, but he's not the 227, 230-pound bruiser that can handle that type of beating week in and week out. We have to find a way that when he's not in the on the field, our run game can get better. And I know Coach Rule addressed that in his press conference, said it was Dana's call. I'm cool with that, the home opener, right? You got to win the first one. Do what you got to do there. But we need some guys like Nelson to show up and have a big, big piece of the run game so that we can get, hey, this week, Emmett, you're only going to touch the ball 18 times and catch the ball 6 times. So there's, you're still getting your 20 plus touches. You're just not getting pounded between the tackles that many times like we're going to run here. So need to find some more production from someone other named Emmett Johnson in the run game. And then in the pass game, we got to find a way to get to the quarterback. I was very concerned with our limited ability to rush the passer, even when we blitzed, right? We sent 5 or 6 at times, and he was able to stand back there, kind of do his thing, and then he took off a lot. Obviously, we did a great job in coverage, but I really would like to see us affect the passer more early in the downs, first and second, and then especially third down. We need to get to the feet of the quarterback more and affect him and then have good rush lanes. But I just didn't feel like our pass rush was as tenacious as I would have liked it to be.
Okay, so I want to go to the running back, because there were times last year that you wanted to see, hey, give it to the back and get going. I think it was probably positive, like you mentioned, hey, let Emmett go. But don't you think these next couple of games, because you've got young running backs that have not been in the fire, and a lot of times it's just getting real game reps, that maybe these next couple, you got an opportunity to get those young backs going and a feel for being in this type of situation?
Yeah, I mean, that's what these tune-up games are for, right? That's why you schedule Houston Christian. It's why you schedule Akron, right? You should be able to come out and say, we are a Power 4 opponent. We are more talented at all the positions than you are. We're going to lay it on you, and then we're going to get our backups in the game. That is the point of these games. Has that been the point of Nebraska with these games in the last recent history? No, right? But that is where this program needs to get, because that's how you get those guys, those meaningful game reps that are not practice reps, and then that can lead into them being more contributors as we enter into Big Ten play. So, yes, ideally, I'd like to see Emmett take 8 to 11 carries in these next couple games and then get the guys like Makai Nelson and get the guys like Mosey and get those guys rolling so they can get into a rhythm and they can spell Emmett when we need him to, and that it's not a spell and this giant drop-off, right? Because that's what it felt like in this first game. It's like if Emmett wasn't touching the football, there was no positive yards. I just pulled the stat sheet up again here, right? Mosey, 1 carry for two negative yards. Makai Nelson, 1 carry for 0 yards. Jari Bonner, 2 carries, rip. I hate that he's gone, right? Like, and so you just look at this and you're like, man, without Emmett Johnson, we had like minus 7 yards rushing. And so that's just not a sustainable business model if you're trying to be a rushing football team. So I would really like for those guys to get in some type of rhythm, let Dana say, hey, what do these guys run well? What are their skill sets? Is it the jet sweeps? Is it the inside zone, right? Is it the pin pull? Like, what do these guys do well so that when they have to get into the game, when it is come Big Ten time, we can call the plays that'll have the success with those runners that are not named Emmett.
For the record, though, you're okay with them feeding the hot hand and that kind of workload, just not every game, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, feed the hot hand, but that is just, I mean, I can remember watching Rex Burkhead carry the ball like 30 times against Iowa my senior year, and I literally thought the dude was going to die in the locker room. Like, he was just so beat up. And so seeing that type of workload, because he caught it 10 times, he carried it 25, 35 touches, that's a lot of bruising on the body. I don't mind riding the hot hand, but we just need to find something, because we're going to need him in November at his best, not the beat up 80% version of Emmett because he's had to touch the ball so much.
Valentino's, a slice of home you just can't get anywhere else. What started with a treasured family recipe has become a Nebraska tradition for over 68 years. Proud to be the official pizza of the Huskers. Going back to, you had brought this up on Big Red Reaction, but I wanted to dive into it here because I thought it was a great perspective. But when you have running backs, first of all, let's start with Emmett and the way that I think you could see how he's learned to be patient a little bit and maybe wait and fill out the holes, and how that is a process for a young running back who might not have that kind of perspective yet, like we're just talking about with some of those younger running backs in that room.
Yeah, a lot of the run game is so much predicated on you have to set up the scheme, right? So, for example, if you're running an inside zone or an outside zone to the right, and the running back gets the ball and he's running and he sees the cutback lane, right? You can't just immediately cut back, right? Because then you're going to allow those linebackers to rock back and be in that lane. You have to what's called press the hole, right? So you have to continue to press it to that play side. And then once you get to the heels of your offensive lineman, then you make that cut. Because then the linebackers have committed, then they're closer to your offensive linemen, so they can climb up, they can climb on those offensive linemen, and that's where the big chunk plays with the cutbacks come. Or you press it so far forward that those linebackers overcommit and they rock back early, then you can press it out the front side. And that just comes with patience and reps. And so many times, if you cut back too early, which at times Emmett did and at times a lot of our backs did, it just creates too much separation between offensive lineman and linebacker, and those linebackers can get free runs. So that's one thing that now watching the tape, going back and seeing, these running backs have to continue to press the hole more before they hit the cutback, or else we're just going to keep giving these 1 yard, 2 yard runs that we're leaving 5-6 yards on the table every single time, or you're one arm tackle away from busting off an explosive 12 to 18. So, you know, it's just one of those things that's going to take time for these young running backs, but they have to figure it out quickly because we're going to need them to press the hole beforehand with this scheme that Dana's running.
All right, so to the offensive line now, and I even Coach Rule said it in his press conference, not ideal. They're not going to keep rotating that left tackle throughout the rest of the season. I know it's
my nightmare, Jess. My absolute nightmare watching three left tackles run onto the football field. At first, I was like, oh, gosh, Gunner got hurt. Like, that was my initial reaction.
I was
like, oh, Gunner's hurt. And then it was like, oh, Turner's in. And I was like, wait, Turner get hurt too? Like, now Elijah's in. And then all of a sudden, I was like, what? Oh, this is a three-man rotation at left tackle. That is terrifying.
So I'll tell you, I saw it in warmups. I thought, okay, this is different, right? Because how the warmups happen, a lot of times you can gather who's going to play, who's going to start, who's going to play behind what guys. And there's usually like three groups. But with the left tackle, they had Gunner go, and then they had Elijah and Turner go together. So then they rotated in during with the twos. And so I kind of had a feeling, okay, something's going on here. And then sure enough, they had that rotation. But, you know, why do you think that is? And what do you think they saw? Did they see any separators in that game between those three?
I mean, I did. I think that Gunner is our best choice at left tackle currently. I think Elijah has the most upside, right? But you make critical mistakes. And I think that was part of the process here is – Turner's played a lot of football, and we know what Turner is. He's played a lot of left tackle for us. Gunner played a good amount last year, and then Elijah's brand new. And so obviously what happened was there was no clear-cut winner coming out of camp, right? They probably all took their turn having good days and bad days. And so what we're seeing is that this competition has carried over into the season, which is very rare, right? Very rare do you see an open competition on game day, right? That was something new, but I give a lot of respect to Coach Rayola and to Coach Rule for understanding, hey, we wanted to see what these guys did when the real bullets were flying, right? When there's real consequences, like all that thing. And from what I was able to see, right, Gunner looks like, in my opinion, the best combination of ready to play right now and also with the most upside, right? I think Elijah has a ton of upside when you look at, hey, size, strength, speed, right? But he made some critical mistakes in that game, jumping off sides on the inch yard line, causing us not to score a touchdown there, right? He had a missed assignment later in the game too, right? And then Turner, I mean, he just kind of is what he is. And so if I'm looking at this objectively from an offensive line coach and from a Coach Rule standpoint, I want to put the player in there that the reps are going to mean the most for. And I think that if you look at Gunner and you go, okay, this kid's a sophomore. He played a lot of football for us last year. Like, he's the guy in our future at this position, then you give the nod to him, right? If that question's still in question, though, and you're going, hey, is it Turner? Is it then you have to keep this rotation thing going. And I do think that it's probably going to last at least another week, maybe 2 weeks. But I really, really hope heading into Big Ten play that we have a solidified left tackle, because I'd really like them to continue to build some chemistry with Henry. Because as a left guard and you're playing with three different left tackles, that's three different forms of communication. That's three different ways you got to try and make sure you guys are on the same page. How three different guys you pass off twists with, three different guys you fit into the run game with. You see where I'm going with this. It just makes the left guard position that much harder.
It's interesting you say that, because even though we talk about, oh, there's three guys that have played a lot of football together, but really they've not played beside each other. And that's different, right? I mean, like, Teddy's played quite a bit of football here, but he's never played next to Rocco. Rocco's never played next to Justin Evans. Justin has never played next to Henry because they were both guards last year. So they had Ben Scott in between them. And you know, same thing, Henry's never played next. Well, he's played next to, I guess, Gunner. But that's different, right? When you're even though you have guys with experience, the one directly next to you, if you haven't played next to him, that takes some time too, right?
100%. And like I said, everything fits differently with your tackle. Right. Everything fits differently with your guard. Right. Rocco and Teddy have at least got a chance to work together all of camp. Right. So when they're doing what's called a B block, right, which is on the backside of zone, and you're double teaming the three technique, like how Rocco fits into that and then how Teddy comes and fits into that. They've repped that so many times that they know where each other's going to be, or they know when they're on a game side and they're a center sliding away and they're man on man. They understand how each other's going to set so they can pass off those TT games or those TE games that's going to get run on them. When I put myself in Henry's shoes, and that's a really hard place to be, right? You're a senior, you're trying to go out there, and every single series you're looking over there going, which one is out here, right? Like, okay, how much do you know? Like, do I need to work more with you? Do I need to make sure that you know the snap count? Do I need to make sure that I tell you to fit in on these deuces? Like, it's just a lot to put on Henry's plate. Can he do it? Yes. But I would like to see Henry play fast and free this year, and I thought he had a pretty good game. It's just when you're rotating guys like that at left tackle, it's hard for him, specifically Henry, to get into a rhythm of the game too when he's constantly worried about who's on my left.
How was Justin Evans, his first start at center?
He did really well. You know, the godfather was in there, and I thought that he handled him really well. Obviously, that guy's an extremely talented player. He made some plays. He made some good pushes in there, right? But I want to see him be more sticky on linebackers, right? And what I mean by that is he climbed quite a bit because they did a lot of looping and slanting, and he had good pop on the initial side, but then he kind of slid off of them late, and that's where they'd make that play. I want to see him be more sticky, right? When you get up on a linebacker, you don't have to knock him out. You don't got to completely take them out of their, like, knock their teeth in. You just need to have a good thud and then stay on them and cover them up. And I think that's where he'll get in the next game. I love the aggression that he played with in this game. I just would love to see him, because that's such a big piece of the center position, is climbing on those Mike and those Sam linebackers, staying attached to them, and then allowing your running back to cut off you at the second level. But I was very impressed with his first start against an NFL caliber player.
Okay, so we could spend, I know, 30 more minutes talking about the offensive line.
Always.
I think we'll know more, maybe. I know it's not necessarily as much of a formidable opponent, I guess, not to knock Akron by any means, but I think just with the rotation, we might know more even next week, so we can dive into that over the next couple weeks as that continues to unfold. But you mentioned Dylan, and you were really impressed with him. What looks different about Dylan Raiola after you watched him in game one?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I think his physique, he's slimmed down a little bit. You can tell he's put some muscle on, which makes sense. I mean, last year he was still a baby, so he's still losing his baby fat. Very rich baby. But, you know, you look at those pieces there and you say, okay, like, the steps I needed to see Dylan take this year initially: better decision making, better ball security, which he did have the ball out there. I mean, on that one where he rolled away, that ball, he needs to tuck that one or get rid of it a lot earlier, right? So that still leaves from desired. But the decision making there was fantastic, right? Because I'm sure, as anyone was watching the game, he wanted to push the ball down the field too, right? I've never met a quarterback that's loving the 12-to-8-yard passing game, right? And just taking it. Like, every quarterback wants to show off the arm and say, hey, go deep, Hunter. I'm throwing it 50, 60 yards in the air. Like, go get it. But what he did was he didn't force the issue, right? He didn't force the bad play. He was able to take what the defense was, keep his offense on the field, understand that, you know, we have a running quarterback that's going against us, that's causing us some trouble. What's the best way to make him not effective? Keep him on the bench. And I thought that he did a great job commanding the huddle. I thought that everyone looked like they got lined up. Like, there was only three penalties, I think, on us in this entire game, which is great for Nebraska, right? So that all comes from the operation, from Dana getting the call in, Dylan getting the call to the guys, getting lined up within the play clock limits, understanding the snap count. I just felt like he was in command the whole time. And that was something that he showed at flashes as a freshman, but going into his second year starting, it's expected now. And so seeing the way that he was able to command that offense and command them up and down the field, I have really high hopes for him going into the rest of this year.
All right, so we talked running back. We've talked Dylan, offensive line. But you have got to on this one. You've got to give some credit to those defensive backs today.
Mm-hmm.
69 passing yards for Cincinnati. The guys on the back end did a good job.
Yeah, but they have a running quarterback. No, yeah, I agree.
They had Everyone to change. They had to change to that because of how good of a job they were doing.
Yes, and that's my point. Everyone that wants to talk about like how having a running quarterback is so successful in college football, when it comes down to brass tacks at the end of the game, you win games on the quarterback's arm. And I thought that Malcolm Hartsog, Sierra Wright, Deshaun Singleton, all those dudes did a really nice job. They were very tight in their coverage. What we saw from times this year was they turned their heads in coverage, right? They weren't just face guarding. Obviously, Malcolm had that one right at the end. But overall, they were locating the ball. They were staying. I mean, that's a talented group of wide receivers, right? I mean, I know that we didn't talk about them much during the game because they weren't getting the ball to them. But, like, there is some big body wide receivers on that Cincinnati team that they just could not get open. And I think that that's credit to Coach Williams and Coach Butler of setting up really good schemes and getting them where they need to be. And then obviously our players just playing with confidence, right? And that's one thing I saw from the cross of all of our Huskers. They played with confidence, and you have to be a confident player, right? And so when the moment became, hey, it's time to go make a play and win this game, there was no fear of, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose this game. They walked right in with the confidence, I'm going to go make the play to win this game with Malcolm Hartsog. Loved seeing that out of our DB group this year because we're going to need those guys. Because like I said, I think our pass rush is still in the developmental stages. So that means our DBs are going to have to be really tight on the back end.
I'll just maybe throw out my perspective from what I took away from the sideline. It looked like there were a lot of learning moments for some young defensive linemen that are in some roles that this is a first time. So do you feel like there's probably a lot of things that even just being in the fire, going back to what we talked about, the young running backs with this defensive line, that they can make some pretty big jumps from week to week here in these first few weeks?
I would like to think so, you know, because I think that the times their offensive line for Cincinnati was playing faster than our defensive line. And that can't be the case, right? The offense already has the advantage of knowing the play and knowing what direction we're going. The way you disrupt that on the defensive side is with speed and with like penetration and going. And they just kind of felt like at times we were trying to guess. And what are we doing here? I want to see those dudes just light their hair on fire and go, right? Elijah Judy, Van Poppel, Len Hart, go, right? Like, just have it in you that, like, my job is to get on that side of the line of scrimmage and I'm going to go. Like, Winari, go. Like, his get off to me, Winari specifically, it seemed like he was trying to, like, wait for them to get going. Like, I want to see him put the pressure on those offensive tackles, right? Like, go get those dudes. Right. So I do think there's a lot of learning there. And like I said, I expect this D-line group to make a big jump from week one to week two here, because that's when those young guys now, like, it's not a NFL stadium anymore. It's not a big Power Four opponent anymore. You're back home. You're back where you want to be. You're in Memorial Stadium. It's going to be packed. It's going to be loud. Go cut it loose and roll, because we're going to need a lot out of that group as we enter into Big Ten play. And that was probably the one group that I felt like needs to make the biggest jump. For us to be as successful as we want to be, our D-line room is going to have to be a lot more successful than they were against Cincinnati.
To his credit, that's John Butler says that, you know, the go get them. It's not like that's not the messaging that they haven't been hearing.
So, for sure.
And I think he said that a few times on the sideline, do things right. You know, the messaging that we've heard him say, I mean, that's what he said. He wants them to play fast and go. And so it just seemed like maybe some first game, maybe hesitation, jitters, just trying to figure things out for some young guys.
Yeah, and so much of those young guys, they're so scared to make the mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 'cause you don't want to make the mistake as a young guy. You want to be, okay, this is my job. I have to make sure I do my job. But you can't be afraid to play fast in fear of making a mistake. Because every coach I've ever been around, especially on the defense side of the ball, is I would rather you make a mistake at 100 miles an hour than do your assignment at half speed. And I think that's what I saw a little bit, was these guys are like, I'm supposed to stunt to the A gap. So I'm going to get to the A gap, and they're not paying attention that it's slant. Everything's running away from them. Right. It's like, no, go, but then react. Like, go be an athlete, react, go do your thing, instead of just being so like robot, do my job. That comes with it. But then you have to have that experience of like, okay, I'm doing my job, but the play is happening in real time in front of me. I have to adjust and go. There wasn't enough of that from that group. And again, that's just because of youth. I think we have the talent there. I think there's plenty of guys there to make the plays. It was just the youth showing up in week one.
Okay, so I should have asked you this earlier, but who gets your game balls?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so Emmett Johnson's definitely getting the offensive game ball for sure. You touch the ball 35 times, yeah, you're getting the game ball. So, I mean, love what I saw out of him. He picked up ahead of where he left off last year, which is exactly what we needed him to do, right? I think about towards the end of last year when people were saying he was going to transfer, right? And we're sitting there like, no, don't leave. And now he's our RB1, so definitely gets the game ball there. On the defensive side, you got to give it to Malcolm Hartog, right? I mean, a guy that has battled through a ton, played a lot of football, gets the penalty, and I think everyone collectively in Husker Nation started saying the words, here we go again, right? Like, oh my gosh, I've seen this movie before. And for him to then battle back, make that game-sealing interception, so happy for him. And we're going to need him. We're going to need him to play really good ball going forward for us here. So those are definitely my two game balls. And then I'll give it to the kicker, too. I mean, a 52-yarder and a snap kick hold operation, fantastic job. So it's good that it's good for me to feel like, hey, an extra point's not going to be an adventure this year. And that's a good place to be from a special team side.
Okay, so I have one more for you. And normally what we do is we break down the previous week and then preview this week. We'll get more to that as we know more about opponents.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to spend a lot of time studying Akron.
Right, I think a lot of it's going to be about Nebraska, which we've talked a lot about, the adjustments that need to be made. But Coach Rule has brought up, he said this to me in the TV show, and then he brought it up, I think, in his press conference, but usually the biggest improvements that a team makes is from game one to game two. Why is that? Why do you typically see such improvements from that first game here to the second game?
It's just knocking rust off, right? I mean, it's not like the NFL where you have preseason, right? You get to go through your whole game day routine, whether it's traveling or game day meetings the night before. And hey, what time do I get to the stadium? Where's the coffee? Where's the food? Like, there's just a lot that goes into the first actual game day, no matter how much you've drilled scrimmages or anything like that in camp. And then it's also just the rust of a real football game. Like, it's been since late November or December since we played a real football game. It just is hard to get back into that rhythm. And so you knock that rust off, and then you have the young guys knock their nerves off, and then you really get to see, okay, now that that's all out of the way, let's go play football, right? Let's get all that stuff. You know where you're supposed to be. You know what time you're supposed to be dressed and out on the field. Like, all the logistical stuff you now have a feel for, now go play football. And that's where you see the teams take those big jumps, is because you kind of just get through all of the slowness and the muck and the uncertainty of week one. You can then go out there and just cut it loose week two.
So I think the big things you'll be looking for here in this one, in week two, in the home opener, is improvements on the D-line and getting some of the young guys going at running back. Is it safe to say those are probably the two biggest things you'd like to see?
Yeah, I think the other thing I'd like to see is, if the defense allows it, take a shot. Right, we need to put on tape, if the defense allows it, pushing the ball down the field. Because if we just fall into this, hey, even no matter if they just play cover three or they want to play cover two, whatever it is, and we're just going to dink and dunk, we're going to let those safeties sit back way too far and put too much of that on tape. We have to put a downfield passing game on tape when it comes in the time for it, right? So I'd like to see, hey, Carter Nelson, go down the seam, bud. It's your time, right? Hey, I'd like to see Luke Lindenmeyer continue to get more into the game, right? You're going to see like guys like Key and Hunter, like, go down the field, put pressure on these DBs, and let Dylan make the throw. So that's kind of my third thing, is like, I'm not saying we have to have it and it's this dire thing of we have to press the ball down the field, but showing the vertical passing game and putting it on tape is just going to make teams have to prepare for more and more and more about this offense.
Fascinating. And not to mention the offensive line rotation. You want to see that get locked up.
Yeah, that's got to stop. I can't. My brain can't handle a three-man rotation at the left tackle position.
Hey, in addition to your Big Red Reaction duties, you're also going to be selecting the tailgater of the game. Can you be bribed? Is there any kind of maybe...
Oh, yeah. Everyone has a price. Everything's for sale and everyone has a price. So, yeah, Hy-Vee Tail. I won't be doing it on the home opener. I'm gone this weekend.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, for most of the home games this year, I will be running around looking for the Hy-Vee tailgater of the game. So if you see a giant in red walking around, make sure you wave me down, because, like I said, I can be bought.
I just was wondering, you know, for our Slice listeners, if you can give them a little bit of an advantage when you're walking around trying to find
it. Yeah, I mean, be excitable, right? I will find the excitable people. Energy is drawn to other energy, and I promise you 3.5 hours before kick, I will be excitable. So bring the energy, and I will find you.
So you're off this weekend, but you're back next weekend.
Yes, yes. I mean, it was one of those things where I already had a... No, I'm back in... next weekend.
So you're off on Big Red Reaction this weekend, right?
Nope, I'm doing Big Red Reaction.
You're doing Big Red Reaction, you're not doing the tailgate.
Just not Hy-Vee. I'm ready for Big Red Reaction. I think we go from like 12 to 2 this week, so we'll get some more sleep than I did last week, but I'm ready. The body is willing.
All right, we'll look forward to it. Great stuff as always, and we'll talk to you next week here on the Sideline Slice.
Go Big Red.
For Jeremiah Searles, I'm Jessica Cootie. The Sideline Slice is always brought to you by Valentino's Pizza, the official pizza of the hospital. Valentino's treasured Italian family recipes have been passed down for generations and still locally owned and operated. Valentino's proudly serving Nebraskans in Memorial Stadium for over 30 years.